Shabbos Perek Tesvav Mishnah Gimel 15:3. We've now reached a bit of a watershed in the Mishnah, in the Masechta that is. If you would divide up the Masechta into its most largest brushstrokes, so you would say that the first six prakim dealt with the activities that were happening before Shabbos and preparation of Shabbos, and then from the 7th Perek until this point, the 15th Perek basically deals with the Malachas, the 39 categories of Isser Midoraisa. From here on to the end of the Masechta, again, very loosely speaking, we're going to talk about Dinei Derabbanan, rabbinic enactments called the Shvus, from the Lashon of Tishbos, to rest on Shabbos. The rabbis put things into place to ensure that the spirit of Shabbos was maintained and that people shouldn't look like they're breaking Shabbos or inadvertently break Shabbos, etc. So now we begin with the topic of rabbinic enactments regarding protecting the sanctity of Shabbos. And this is the first one. It implicates two separate points. One of them is the issue of hachana. Hachana is preparing for after Shabbos on Shabbos, which in general is forbidden. There's some nuanced differences. If you're talking about something that's just a normal course of action, if it's something you need also for Shabbos, if it involves atircha, exertion, etc. But the basic gist of it is, as I think people are familiar with, is that one may not exert himself to do things to prepare for after Shabbos on Shabbos, as the Mishnah will discuss. And the second thing is more specific to the Mishnah of folding garments and making beds, etc. And the issue here is, if you're folding, let's say your talus, which has a nice crease on it, you're folding it to put it back and make it nice and creased again, as it was before, so that looks like metakin kli, like repairing or fixing a utensil. You're basically fixing up the quasi-ruined garment that wasn't folded properly, and now you're refolding it again. So those are the two issues basically in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says inside, Mekaplin es hakelim, one may fold his utensils, meaning his clothing, on Shabbos, afilu arba v'chamisha pamim, even four or five times. Here what we mean according to Rashi is four or five times is you could take off and put on, let's say your talus, four or five times during the course of Shabbos, each time folding it and unfolding it as you set it down and then pick it up again. Now, while that's true that one may fold his garments, so the Gemara brings a number of qualifications. First of all, it goes without saying that the only reason that you're permitted to do this exertion of folding this utensil, this clothing on Shabbos, is because you need it for Shabbos. If you didn't need it for this Shabbos, you needed it for after Shabbos, so then that's the general hachana problem, preparation for Motzei Shabbos, and it would be forbidden. At the end of the Mishnah, I'll discuss what's the folding of talus lamaisa. But even if you need it for this Shabbos, still it would be used on this Shabbos, I should say. So then, even still, there are four qualifications that the Gemara puts down, and the Bar Tanura speaks them out. The first is that it has to be folded by just one person, as opposed to two people working together. When two people work together, so they really can do a good job of pulling the cloth very tight, and it looks like they're really repairing it, fixing it, like laundering it, and making it ready for use again. So it looks a lot like tikkun kli, which is a tolda of makbeh patish. The second condition is that it's only done with new clothing. That is clothing that still is like quite firm and doesn't fold so easily and doesn't get wrinkled and wrinkled the same way that worn out soft clothes do, says the Gemara. The third condition is that it must be white clothing we're talking about. Apparently, the Gemara understood that when one folds colored clothing, the benefits conferred by the folding are much more dramatic than if you have white clothes that you're folding, which are less benefited by just the folding process since they're all white and it's sort of less evident that they're like being renewed, if you will, by folding them. And fourth is that we're talking about a case where you have nothing else to wear that's appropriate for the occasion on Shabbos than this particular garment. So if you had a change of clothing, you would not be allowed to fold the garments, even if it's planned to be used on Shabbos and done by one person and done with new clothing and done on white clothing still, you still couldn't do it unless this was the only option you had that was appropriate for the occasion. In such a scenario, you could fold it, as we say, in the Mishnah. Again, at the end, I'll go back to the Halacha Lamaisa about Talesim, but let me go on for now to get the principles laid out. The Mishnah says, Umatzi'in es hamitos maleli Shabbos the Shabbos. This is now making the bed. So let's, making the bed sheets, pulling the bed sheets tight again, which is also very similar to folding garments, in as much as essentially you're kind of renewing the bed, but also potentially you are preparing for Motzi Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, if it's not for Motzi Shabbos, if indeed it's Malele Shabbos to Shabbos, if you slept in the bed on Friday night, and now on Shabbos morning you want to remake the bed so that you'll have a comfortable bed to sleep in for your Shabbos Shluf and Shabbos afternoon, then for sure that's going to be okay. Here you're not folding in any seams, doesn't look like you're really renewing them too much. And since you're using it for Shabbos, so even though it may be a bit of a tirchat to make the bed, but you're happy to do it because you want it for Shabbos proper. Therefore, it's not considered hachana. Avalo mishabbos lemotzi Shabbos. One may not, however, make his bed on Shabbos morning if the next time he plans on using it is for motzi Shabbos, because that would be hachana. There is a bit of a tircha involved, a bit of an effort involved in making a bed. And if it's not for use until after Shabbos, that would be hachana. That would be forbidden to be done on Shabbos proper. Now, let me pause here for a second and talk about these two things, l'halach l'maisa. The first is, as far as hachana in general goes, so although there is a range of opinions about how far the prohibition extends, the minhag, certainly by Ashkenazim, as far as I'm familiar with, is that pretty much all work, all action done for Motzi Shabbos is really avoided at all costs. I shouldn't say at all costs, but it's avoided in general. So that means, you know, after Shel HaShuddos, one doesn't clean off the table till after one makes Abdullah, etc. Now, there are different degrees which one could take this. In other words, let's say you go to Shacharis on Shabbos morning, and you're wearing your raincoat because it's drizzling outside, and after you come out of davening, the sun is shining, and it's, you know, a nice warm day. So can you take your raincoat home from shul or not? If you take it home, you're obviously bringing it home so you'll have it next time it rains and not for Shabbos. So is that allowed? So the general principle is that, I think, that the consensus of poskim is that if you're doing something which is sort of a normal activity, like wearing a coat home or bringing a coat home, which doesn't involve any real extra work, like bringing a coat home, so then you're allowed to do it. And therefore, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Ribiat in his book, etc., all say that to bring the coat home would be okay. Because, like I said, it doesn't involve really much tircha, and it's not really a big deal. It's a normal course of events that one goes through, etc. As far as folding the talis for Motzi Shabbos, so there it is actually going to be more restricted. There's a range of opinions from the Aruch HaShulchan, who's very makel. Shlomo Zalman said you can fold it on the seams, like the back to the front way, meaning even if on the seam, but just the in the opposite direction of the seam, then fix it after Shabbos. Some are more lenient, some are more strict than that. In general, if you're putting it away for permanent use, like for the next day, it's not really proper to do it on the seam on Shabbos, I'm led to believe, by the consensus of poskim, and therefore it's better either just to fold it up in sort of an ad hoc way, not on the seams altogether, to prevent it from getting further wrinkled than after Shabbos fixing it, which I think is the more prevalent custom, to sort of put it aside in a way that doesn't get wrinkled and worse, then fix it after Shabbos. Folding after Shabbos is normal, which is a recommended way to do things. And the idea being that you're not really preparing for after Shabbos, you're just putting it away in such a way that you're avoiding loss or damage to talis on Shabbos. As far as making beds go, so there's certainly tircha involved in making a bed. Nevertheless, when you're doing something that maybe only has utilitarian use after Shabbos, like the bed, or the dishes, so, and there's a tirach involved in making beds and doing dishes, so at first blush, the lach would be, if you don't use the bed or dishes till after Shabbos, it should be usher to make it or clean them on Shabbos. However, if you're the kind of person who doesn't want the bed made for sleeping in on Motzi Shabbos per se, but rather you just don't want to have your room be a mess now on Shabbos, or you don't want to have the dishes that are dirty in the sink are bothering you now on Shabbos, etc., so then, indeed, for the sake of Shabbos, one could make the bed or do the dishes, because that's not considered hachana. This is my understanding of most poskim, let's say like this. Not considered hachana for after Shabbos, because you want it and you want the benefit of the made bed or the clean dishes now, and as much as to not have the bed made or the dishes cleaned, it's bothering you on Shabbos. So it's a Shabbos purpose that you're doing it for. Again, one would have to be sort of honest between himself and Hashem to figure that one out. Meaning if it indeed is for Motzi Shabbos or for a benefit on Shabbos. Okay, the Mishnah continues on now, and we're going to have a discussion about the relative status of Yom Kippur to Shabbos. We've just finished saying that you can't do work on Shabbos from Motzi Shabbos, because that's sort of a desecration of the sanctity of Shabbos. So there's no business. You're not allowed to do hachana, preparing for Motzei Shabbos on Shabbos. The question is, what's with Yom Kippur? Now, everyone's going to agree that Yom Kippur is on a lower level of Kedusha than Shabbos. That might come as a surprise to you at first, if you think Yom Kippur is the day of the year, Yoma. But it's, in fact, Shabbos is the more Kaddish day, and that's certainly evidenced by the fact that one who does a malacha on Shabbos, bemezed with Edim and Hasra, with witnesses, and warning, would be liable to skila, the death penalty, whereas doing malacha on Yom Kippur carries with the penalty of Karas at most. So it's certainly a lower level of sanctity. The question is, what's with preparing? On the other hand, the problem is that Yom Kippur is in its own right called the Shabbos Shabbosim. It's a Shabbos, so to speak, on some level all to itself. The question is, what's the relationship between the two? May one prepare on Yom Kippur for Shabbos, or is that a violation of the sanctity of Yom Kippur? And may one prepare on Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, or not? So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Amer, Mekaplin Esa Kalim, one could fold his clothing, Umatzina Samitos, and make the beds, Yom Kippurim LeShabbos, on Yom Kippur in preparation for Shabbos. Meaning, since Shabbos is more kadosh than Yom Kippur, one is allowed to do hachanas on Yom Kippur, notwithstanding the fact that hachanas is generally forbidden on Yom Kippur for Motzi Yom Kippur, if the Motzi Yom Kippur day is Shabbos. And the chelve Shabbos craven b'yom kippurim. Chelev are the fats, referring to here the fats, or the organ fats that go on the mizbeach as part of the emurim, they're the burned parts of the korbanos. If you're talking about, let's say, an ola, korban ola, so then the entire korban is going to be burned, not just the chelev, but the entire animal. The point here is that animals that have to be brought on, let's say, Shabbos Yom Kippur, so certainly the animal has to be shechted and the blood offered on the mizbeach on the day that it needs to be brought, and then you can begin the haktara. Haktara is like the word ketores, is burning something to make the smoke come up. So you're allowed to do that, let's say on Shabbos. It's burning these fats or the whole animal, if you're talking about an ola, etc. on Shabbos, like the tamid shabbein harbaim. You're allowed, it's Doche Shabbos, you're allowed to burn it on Shabbos, but what isn't burned on Shabbos has to be continued to be burned on Motzi Shabbos. Just the same way that if you, on any old Thursday afternoon, don't finish burning whatever korbanos, Thursday night, which is the next day, you have to continue to do the Haktara, you burn those fats and limbs, whatever that is, to be burned. So, although it's true you can burn from Shabbos on Motzi Shabbos, you certainly may not burn Erev Shabbos, meaning Friday's korbanos that weren't burned fully, you may not burn them on Shabbos. In other words, the burning, the haktara, of the limbs and fats of Friday's korbanos is not Doche Shabbos. You may not burn them on Shabbos. The question is, what if it's Yom Kippur instead? So Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it doesn't cut it. You may not burn Yom Kippur's leftovers on Shabbos. And that's what it says here. But you may burn Shabbos' leftovers on Yom Kippur, because Shabbos is just clearly a full step up in terms of Kedusha, and therefore it pushes off Yom Kippur. And that's what the Mishnah said again inside. He said, the Chelvei Shabbos, the fats from Shabbos, craven by Yom Kippurim, can be brought on Motzi Yom Kippur. Excuse me, on Motzi Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. You're allowed to do that. Now, Rabbi Kiva is going to disagree. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Alo Shel Shabbos craven by Yom Kippurim, Velo Shel Yom Kippurim craven by Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva holds that the halachic status of Shabbos and Yom Kippur are sufficiently close, if you will, that one may not, it's actually learned from a pasuk, but one may not burn the Shabbos fats on Motzi Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. Normally one burn the Yom Kippur fats on Motzi Yom Kippur, which is the Shabbos. It may not be done. Each to its own, each day to its own Kedusha, and you may not do one to prepare or use for the other. And that is the halachic Rabbi Akiva. Worth pointing out is that this actually is not able to happen nowadays in the time of the Mishnah. So the months were truly declared and the Rosh Chodesh was declared, etc., based on the sighting of the new moon, and therefore Yom Kippur could fall on any day of the week. In the year 358, the common era, they fixed the calendar, so it shouldn't be able to be it was fixed in a permanent way that we have today. You know, you can look on the calendar and see what day someone's bar mitzvah will be the day they're born. It's already known ahead of time. And Yom Kippur for, you know, the year 2059 is known already today, etc. So that being the case, that happened because Chazal set up the calendar, and they purposely set up the calendar that Yom Kippur should never fall on a Friday or a Sunday. That was a very important consideration for them, because they didn't want that a person who needed to be buried would have to wait, you know, 2 days. You can't bury the corpse on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur. We didn't want to push up the burial for 2 days, and therefore Chazal arranged it that the calendar is always such that Yom Kippur never falls out on a Friday or a Sunday. And that being the case, this part of the Mishnah would never be halacha l'maisa, but in the time of the Mishnah, it certainly could have been. And the halacha in that case would be like Rabbi Akiva, that you cannot prepare for Shabbos on Shabbos for Yom Kippur, nor can you prepare for Yom Kippur on Shabbos, and you can't burn the leftovers for Shabbos and Yom Kippur, nor can you burn the leftovers of Yom Kippur on Shabbos.